Fajero! Here's Rooney! Oh my goodness me! That is one of the strikes of the season! Absolutely brilliant! Fantastic!
Hello and welcome to another edition of FPL 360. I'm Sean Sullivan.
And I'm Chuck Booth, who is also today, a very tired person.
Yeah, we've had quite a long day today with the final day of the January transfer window. We're going to start there talking about the striker merry-go-round. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang completed his transfer to Arsenal, which allowed Arsenal to sell Olivier Giroud to Chelsea, who in turn loaned Michy Batshuayi to Borussia Dortmund. Got to take a breath. Got a little lightheaded there. In the past couple episodes, we've spoken about what Aubameyang is going to mean for Arsenal, how they're going to line up. I guess do a quick recap. Chuck, what do you think that starting 11 is going to look like with the Gabon international in it?
I mean, there's going to have to be some shoehorning of a front two of Aubameyang and Lacazette. The interesting thing is going to be how are the three Arsenal attackers going to line up behind him, because it's really going to be Jack Wilshere versus Aaron Ramsey for who gets the role in the middle. And while Wilshere is probably a more natural number 10, Ramsey's a better overall player.
Yeah, if you look at how they lined up in their defeat against Swansea, obviously he wasn't confirmed at the time, but you had Iwobi, Lacazette, Ozil across the front. Then you had Ramsey, Elneny, and Xhaka in midfield. I would like to see Arsene Wenger play Lacazette up top with Aubameyang. I don't know if that's going to happen. It could be maybe like a one with two sitting behind him.
Which means he's wasting Aubameyang if he does that.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's not going to discourage me from getting him in fantasy if possible, although in OFPL at 10.5 million, that's quite steep and probably unattainable in a Toga league unless you have a waiver one claim.
Yeah, I mean, everyone needs to go out right now and set their waiver priority if you have waivers one, two, or three, because at that point you're kind of just hoping that whoever has waiver one doesn't use it.
Yeah, I guess we'll talk about Giroud going to Chelsea. This concludes their month-long search for a backup striker for Alvaro Morata. What kind of value would you slap on him, knowing he's going to be a backup, but also with the understanding that he's more of a complete forward to fit that system than Batshuayi was?
I mean, I'd still own him, especially considering Morata's injury concerns. Like, if you own Morata, you need to go out and get Giroud now. If you don't own Morata, you still probably want to have Giroud if you have a weak bench, because forward is pretty thin, and Giroud is going to play in at least like four or five games, and you want to play him in those games.
Yeah, I think if I had Morata, I would 100% try and trade for Giroud, just because he offers pretty much the same skill set and should have the same output when he starts. So I wouldn't be afraid to give up maybe like a midfielder three for him, just to make sure that you have cover for when Morata's out.
Yeah.
And then Batshuayi goes off to Borussia Dortmund on loan.
Therefore, he officially means nothing to us for fantasy anymore.
To get first team minutes. Interesting just with Batshuayi, considering that, you know, he's scored 10 goals this season in all competitions.
But I mean, I wanted him at Tottenham, but Conte hates him.
Conte hates him. Speaking of Tottenham, Spurs have splashed for PSG winger Lucas Moura, paying $25 million for the Brazil international. How does he fit in for your boys at Wembley?
So, number one, he's going to be a backup, which is fine, because he offers something different than what we really have because of his straight line speed. He's also probably going to feature more in Champions League because he hasn't played yet. Therefore, he can play for us. I mean, it's a very interesting depth move, but there was no one who was going to come in January that was going to actually walk into the Spurs starting lineup.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, with how good Sun's been, Dele Alli's finding his form again, and then obviously the Danish wizard and Christian Eriksen, none of them are going to get displaced. Would you consider, I guess, what would your advice be to people thinking about adding him in Tauge?
Don't add him. I don't really see him having much of a usefulness in fantasy, except for if he gets random spot starts here and there, but I think those random spot starts won't be in the Premier League unless someone gets hurt. He's one of those guys that's just a very good addition for the team, but means nothing fantasy-wise.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming he's going to just become the guy, the impact substitute off the bench.
Yes.
Obviously with a long view at developing and then pushing for time, but I don't think that's this year. Maybe next year, but I don't even know. It's a little down the line, but still, with how good those guys are, unless they lost one of them.
Yeah, it feels more like it's preparing for if someone's eventually sold than it is like him actually waltzing in now.
Another transfer, I guess, moving on, since we got a bunch to get through. Newcastle have acquired Islam Soleimani on loan from Leicester City. I think he's worth a scoop in fantasy, mainly because Hosolu is not very good and Dwight Gale also is not very good.
Yeah, the fact that Hosolu has started this many games is a miracle. And like, Soleimani will at least bring some class to the team, and you're going to hope that the Newcastle attackers can actually find him so that he can score a few goals. He's a guy that I'm probably putting in a waiver wire claim on because any forward with a pulse is useful in Tauge.
Yeah, Hosolu actually missed the penalty today against Burnley, so that doesn't help his case. And with the way Newcastle have been playing, probably going to stick with some form of that 4-4-1-1 and just slot Soleimani up top. Another guy they brought in, Kennedy on loan from Chelsea. I actually scooped him when the lineups came out today. He grabbed an assist. So, the interesting thing with him, though, is he's classified as a forward in Tauge. So, does that hurt or help his value, in your opinion?
I mean, I kind of think it hurts it a bit, but just because of the fact that you can only start three forwards, and it just leaves you a lot less flexible with options.
Yeah, I had kind of penciled him in as a potential fifth midfielder to rotate in a 12-team league, and then with him being a forward now, I mean, if he keeps getting assists and stuff like that, then I'll be happy with it. But it's going to be tough for him to crack if I'm playing with two forwards up top.
Exactly. Like, more often than not, I either play with two or one forward. So it's not really going to work with slotting Kennedy in somewhere.
Yeah. A forward who changed clubs in the Premier League, who will be added and most likely will be started when he plays, Andre Ayew has rejoined Swansea City on a permanent transfer, moving back from West Ham. He's 53% owned in leagues right now.
And that number's going to shoot up.
Yeah, it's a reunion with his brother Jordan. Are you hot on Ayew going back to team up with the other Ayew? Do you think he's worth using a waiver claim? I guess, what number waiver claim would you be willing to use to grab him?
Any of them, just because outside of number one going to Aubameyang, everything else is up for grabs. So, and like at this point, the window's closed. There's no point in holding your waivers anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And I definitely would try and scoop him in the leagues I'm in. I don't have enough of a waiver claim to get to him. But I think he brings a good dimension to that team. They need to score goals. And right now, you know, they just need someone who's an able body to be up there, use his pace, and latch on to balls. But I think it's a good signing overall. It's weird that they bought him back for more than they sold him, though.
Yeah, I don't get the exact like stuff with why they did that. But it's not Carvajal that sold him, so he will still be used coming back.
Stoke City have signed midfielder Ndiaye from Galatasaray for £16 million. This is a transfer I think that's interesting, a little bit under the radar in terms of grabbing headlines, but definitely I think could be relevant in fantasy. Well,
it unfortunately went under the radar because Stoke announced this transfer at halftime.
Yeah, they pulled the fast one on us. I guess we're assuming he's going to come in with Stoke having used the three-man midfield under Lambert and probably displaced Charlie Adam.
Yep, which is a good thing for all parties involved because the more games that Charlie Adam plays, the more of a chance it is that he will do something stupid for Stoke.
For those who aren't really familiar with Ndiaye, he's been at Galatasaray for the last three seasons. He scored 19 goals and contributed 10 assists in 84 appearances. And I guess Togger relevant stats would be he averaged 2.5 tackles and 2.2 shots per match across those appearances.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, with that information in hand, I guess I'm looking at using a waiver claim. I think that's around 6 or 7 to get him. I think he might drop a bit. Chuck, do you have any input on him? Do you think that I'm a little too high in him just because of the stats, or do you think that I might be honest with him?
I mean, considering that I've been beating the Stoke drum, I would definitely be interested in him. I can't say that before a few hours ago that I knew that much about him, which has been more of just the fun of the transfer window, because we also had to figure out who the hell some of these guys are.
A guy who we are familiar with, who's back in the Premier League, Didier Ndong, joins Watford from Sunderland. With Watford's injuries, Etienne Capoue had worked his way back into the starting 11, although we're expecting Ndong to relegate him back to the bench. Ndong was with Sunderland last year before they were relegated. Any interest in him in fantasy?
So, in Ndong specifically, no. In Watford defenders, yes. Because having a good central defensive midfielder is the difference between a clean sheet and letting in four goals. Because the Watford defenders, when they're put in one-on-one battles, are not very good. But putting Ndong in front of them can make them a lot more relevant for fantasy purposes.
Sticking with Watford, the Hornets have also brought in Gerard Deulofeu on loan from Barcelona. This one is a little bit more intriguing for me just because, you know, there's potential there with Deulofeu, although he has lacked the end product at times, and it's not like he's going to be crossing the ball to Messi and Suarez at Watford. What, I guess, would your advice be for people considering adding him in Taga?
Well, at this point, considering the other forwards that moved, he's definitely fourth on that list because Ayew, Kennedy, and Slimani are all above him, in my opinion. On his day, he's a very good player. The issue is just the fact that he's not consistent at all.
Yeah, he started today. The one thing I guess that's more relevant about him, and this affects me, being an Andre Carrillo owner, is Deulofeu went straight into the starting 11. So Carrillo's stock gets downgraded, which is unfortunate because he'd actually been doing quite good.
Yep, unfortunately, you need to basically drop him now.
Yeah, with the peripheral metrics. So if you own Carrillo, now's a good time to hop off of them. The last transfer we're going to talk about before we get into the Game Week 26 match previews, Daniel Sturridge on loan from Liverpool at West Brom now. He came off the bench today for Solomon Rondon. From what I saw, he showed some flashes of when Sturridge is fit. Sturridge, I mean, do you think he can save them from relegation. They're sitting 20th right now. They need goals.
I don't know. Because they need a lot of help. Like, it seems like every other team got better, and they just kind of stayed the same. Like, because they need Sturridge of, like, 4 years ago if they're actually going to stay in the Premier League. And I don't know if that Sturridge is still out there.
Yeah, I think he's definitely worth adding and seeing what happens. I mean, the combination of him and James Rodriguez with service from Chris Brunt is more appetizing than Solomon Rondon, even though it's not too tasty.
Oh yeah, I'm totally adding Sturridge. Actually, I own Sturridge. I just don't think it's enough for the team as a whole.
Yeah, definitely something to monitor. If he can stay fit, I think this could be a great move for him. Just because he's going to need to catch fire if he's going to have any chance of sneaking into the England squad for the World Cup.
Yep, he's playing for World Cup spot and basically his career.
Exactly. All right, before we get into the Game Week 26 preview, just wanted to say you can find me, Sean Sullivan, on Twitter at Sean_Sullivan1, as well as my column, Sean Super Subs, over at RotoWorld. Chuck, where can the folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ChuckBoofSport.
Anything else? Anything else you want to direct them to? Maybe a LinkedIn or a Instagram page?
Not really. You can find everything through my Twitter. The other stuff would just be a laundry list.
All right, now we'll get down to the list of matches. First one we're going to talk about, Burnley taking on Manchester City. This should be a comfortable win for Manchester City, who are coming off that 3-0 win over West Brom. I guess the biggest thing to discuss would be considering who to captain. The Citizens are at Turf Moor, but Burnley have struggled of late. In the Sterling, KDB, Aguero argument, where would you land?
Right now, it's feeling like KDB. He's been, by this year, like the most consistent performer for City. And now, with the injury to Leroy Sané, he's just been so important to everything they do.
Yeah, KDB picked up a goal and an assist today. The goal was pretty nifty counter-attacking move. You got the ball back from Sterling and buried it. I own Sterling. I'm going to consider captaining Sterling. He picked up 2 assists today and has 3 assists in his last 2 matches.
I own Sterling too, but we'll be talking about my captaincy candidate a little bit later.
As for Burnley, I mean, we did see some upsets this week. You think Burnley could turn the trick? I'm going to probably stay away from that.
Nope. Okay. Burnley is not very good against top 6 teams, and I think this is going to be more like the scoreline when Tottenham came to Turf Moor, and that was a 3-0 defeat.
Yeah, to make things more difficult for them, they could be without James Tarkowski again, and Stephen DeFore looks like he's going to be on the sidelines with a knee injury.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, as a Tarkowski owner in Playtaga, I'm probably going to hold him even if he's in doubt just because he's been so good this season. But if you don't have a replacement for him, definitely go out and get someone. Bournemouth taking on Stoke City. Bournemouth come in riding high after beating Chelsea 3-0. The Cherries are now unbeaten in their last 6 matches. Are you buying in on the Eddie Howe hype train?
So I am, but this is a tough one. Because right now we have both of my hype trains colliding at high speed.
Yeah, you've been a big Stoke Alona guy of late. I think I'm going to give the edge to the Cherries. Callum Wilson looks like he's found his form again. Him and Junior Stanislas both had a goal and assist against Chelsea.
I honestly think we're going to see a goalish draw.
That's the last thing I want or our listeners want to hear.
But if our listeners have been listening to me, they now own a bunch of Stoke defenders.
Yeah, I'm hoping we get an entertaining game just because I brought Choupo-Moting in an OFPL last week. Callum Wilson, what are your thoughts on him I guess specifically in Tauga?
I mean, Colin Wilson is at this point ownable in every format due to his, because he's cheap enough to be a good third forward in OFPL. He has a decent enough peripherals to be useful in Tauga. Like, while he is super goal dependent, right now he's scoring at Sergio Aguero rates.
Yeah, he's finally found his form, which is great for Bournemouth. Right now he is owned in 55% of
Tauga
leagues.
And that is way too low.
I guess in terms of Stoke, we talked about how they got that new signing coming in. I guess looking at the rest of their squad, I know you're hot on their defenders, Kurt Zouma especially. Is there any other thing you wanted to add in your weekly You Love Stoke address?
I mean, basically, I believe that in Tauga, just about everyone in their starting 11 is useful. In OFPL, I'm limited more to their defenders, Butland, Choupo-Moting, and Shaqiri. But overall, they have a lot of very useful fantasy assets.
Well, considering we butchered our scoreline predictions from last week, let's do some again. I'm going to go with 2-1 Bournemouth.
And I'm going to keep my 0-0 draw.
Next match we're going to talk about is not appetizing at all on paper. Brighton versus West Ham. The Hammers are obviously still without Manuel Lanzini. There will be no Arnautovic. Mikel Antonio could potentially be back in action, but it's uncertain after he was left out of the squad today. On Tuesday.
Yeah, this is not a very appetizing matchup at all.
So I have, in OFPL, I have Adrian in goal. I want to get rid of him, but I'm going to would have to use my wild card because I got some issues elsewhere in my midfield. Do you think there will be goals in this one? I know Brighton got a penalty from Glenn Murray in their draw today.
I think West Ham will scrape by and score. It'll probably be a pretty ugly goal, but they all count the same on the score sheet.
Yeah, the Hammers got a goal from Mark Noble against Crystal Palace yesterday in their 1-1 draw.
And that was from the spot.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I'm expecting a low-scoring game in this one. Neither team... Brighton doesn't have much going for them in general, and West Ham is depleted. I mean, they got Yao Mario in. He looked all right in his debut. He didn't really... I think he got 5.5 points in Tauga, though. He didn't really light it up.
Yeah, the issue is he needs someone that can actually put away chances, so...
Yeah, I guess the one bright spot was Chicharito. If you own Chicharito, he won that penalty. So he was in the starting lineup and he did something. I'm assuming Moyes will stick with him up top just because his options are so limited right now.
Yeah, I was going to say he's only sticking with him because he doesn't have a choice.
Yeah. Moving on to the next match. Leicester City are going to be taking on an in-form Swansea City. And I say that with a little pep because if you look at what's happened lately under Carvajal, Swansea City have pulled off victories against Arsenal and Liverpool in successive matches.
Swansea City has been the Tottenham helpers.
So I guess before we get into it, I just wanted to say what the fuck's going on over there because they were extremely bad last time. I watched them every time this season.
Something's in the water. I don't exactly know, but Alfie Mawson's really good.
Yeah, Alfie Mawson has been quite in form. Same with Jordan Ayew. It's funny because in fantasy, they're tempting because most of Swansea players are available in Tauga formats. In OFPL, they're extremely, extremely cheap, so they could be good budget options. Is there anyone who stands out specifically, I guess, outside of, we said, Mawson?
Well, definitely getting Andre Ayew if I can. He's owned in about half of leagues, so you may have a shot at getting him, or you may not. Really just depends on how deep your leagues are.
Yeah, Alfie Mawson right now, he is owned in only 22% of Toga leagues. Kyle Naughton is owned at 62%. Fabianski, obviously, at 79%.
I will say one thing, and that is that I am not buying that Sam Klukas brace, though.
So Sam Klukas, for those of you that are Hull City fans, currently forging through the championship, Klukas actually popped up with a couple goals like the one he scored, the first one he scored in the Arsenal match last season. Now, if you look at his numbers in Toga, over the last couple matches, he'd put up 6, 9.5, 4.53, and then obviously the 25.5 yield against Arsenal. So you're not buying it at all?
No, because outside of those goals, his peripherals are pretty bad.
Yeah, I personally like him just because I thought he was a young player, but he's actually 28 years old.
Yeah, no, I like Sam Klukas as an actual player. I just don't think he's a fantasy asset.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Also, he had been in and out of the team this season, so for those of you who were hopping on the waiver wire to pick him up, I would definitely cool your jets a bit. Because there's certainly more of you out there than you'd like to admit.
Well, unfortunately, anytime someone bags a brace, their ownership shoots up, even if it shouldn't.
Yeah. In terms of Leicester City, we got a big old question mark over Riyad Mahrez. I mean, do you want to weigh in on this? I have like a statement that I want to say
so,
that I've been holding on to all day.
I feel really bad for Riyad Mahrez. Because Leicester should have sold him to Roma. While he's been wonderful for my fantasy team, and I truly appreciate that, he's given this club everything they deserve from him at this point. And he's been a complete pro going about this whole transfer deal, even while the club has basically said, we're not selling you. And for them to keep continuously deny his transfer requests, even after he's been going about things in the right way, just isn't right.
Yeah, I agree with the stance, feeling bad for Mahrez. I like him as a player. He's one of my favorite players to watch outside of watching Manchester United. I do feel bad because he's deserved a move, but the two points I wanted to make are A, more power to Leicester for standing in the face of Manchester City and saying you can't have him unless you meet our price, because Pep Guardiola has been talking about how they don't have any money to buy players, and then he turns around and he shells 57 out for Laporte from Atletico Bilbao. They can sack up and pay the 75 million that Leicester want for Mahrez. And then also screw Man City for unsettling him, because he had kind of went about his business. He knew he was going to be getting a big move at some point, and then the fucking oil money has to come in and unsettle him at Leicester City. It's going to put a huge dent in my fantasy team, and more so, it's just making me hate Manchester City more than I do. So many times you hear, oh, Manchester United spent too much money. You don't see us going around and unsettling players that are nailed-on starters and extremely important to their team. I'm starting to sweat a little, and my throat hurts, but you guys get my point. You get my point, Chuck? I'm very fucking pissed off.
Tell me how you really feel.
Well, how I really feel is Manchester United got their ass kicked, and I'm not cool with it.
Well, I'm a little more mellow because my team gave you the ass kicking.
All right, coming back down to earth, if Mahrez does miss out, are you interested at all in streaming Damari Gray in Toga?
Against Swansea, no, because they're going to come in with a completely compact game plan, and there's really not going to be that much space for Leicester to get things done. Like, honestly, I wouldn't even feel confident in saying that Mahrez would get a goal in this one if he starts.
Yeah, I think outside of Jamie Vardy, this is a trap match for Leicester in fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, I'd still start the Leicester defenders because Swansea's still not going to score more than two goals. I still don't know how they blew three goals past Arsenal, but a lot of that's kind of Mesut Ozil's fault.
Yeah, I mean, they got lucky on the IU one, which is literally just Peter Cech whiffing on a ball on the wet turf. And then Kukas's finishes, while they're probably going to be anomalies, they were both well taken. Alfie Mawson slipped him through with an exquisite through ball for a central defender on the first one, and then he just kind of clattered home the last one. So they were kind of just poaching opportunities capitalized on by the Swans.
Yeah, it's just a very interesting to look at, though.
Yeah. Next, we're going to talk about my beloved Manchester United. They're going to be playing Huddersfield Town. So I don't even know what to say about this one, because Huddersfield Town suck, but
they've beaten Manchester United.
Yeah, so I'm just piecing together Huddersfield Town are bad, but they've beaten us, and now we're bad, even though we got Sanchez. I guess you had Sanchez, Lingard, Martial behind Lukaku, and then you had Pogba and Matic in midfield against Tottenham. And the one thing I'll say is that clearly Alexis Lingard and the front guys, they need time to gel against legitimate competition before we pass judgment. But at the same time, it was discouraging seeing Sanchez not really being able to get on the ball against Spurs, although they did kind of key in on him.
Also, how are you feeling about the spat that Pogba had on the sidelines with Mourinho?
I feel like that had been coming just because they had been quiet between each other the entire season. And you could kind of tell looking at the Manchester United players' faces after the Phil Jones own goal, which, by the way, was a splendid, splendid finish at the near post. That's the kind of finishing that you would want Lukaku to use on the other end. But I'm not too worried because they were clearly just frustrated. I mean, it was a shit day for them. Spurs outclassed them. You know, just let bygones be bygones and move on. The one thing that is a little interesting and a little bit of a concern for me is Matic got rings run around him in midfield. Yeah, so this match, I'm hoping United will right the ship. It should be a good time for Sanchez and all of them to work on their timing in the final third. The Terriers have conceded more goals than any other club in the league in the last six matches, but we did lose to them last time we played them. The one good thing is we'll be at Old Trafford.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I don't see any way that Bournemouth allows fewer than three goals.
You mean Huddersfield?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking maybe 3-4-0, but yeah, I'm going to be confident. I'm going to do a little split personality. I'm confident we're going to win 4-0 against Huddersfield.
Yeah, this should go well.
Yeah, moving on to another match. This one is actually extremely important for the relegation battle. West Brom going to be playing Southampton. The biggest potential news would be Daniel Sturridge came off the bench against Manchester City, so we're expecting he has a good shot at starting for the Baggies.
Yeah, I don't see why he wouldn't start in this one.
Yeah, especially because the Baggies need goals. This is a huge game at the bottom of the table. Looking at it right now, Southampton are in 18th on 23 points, and the Baggies are in 20th on 20 points.
Yeah, this is kind of just West Brom trying to catch up with the rest of the pack now, because and both of these teams are really bad.
One guy I do like in this game, though, James Ward-Prowse, picked up an assist.
He was lucky to get that assist. Let's say that first.
Yeah, but it was my prediction, and I got it right last week. So, you know,
a good assist. But, like, when the entire defense falls asleep on what was a shit free kick to begin with, that's when it becomes a little more than just semantics.
Hey, as you said earlier, it still counts.
I'm aware. I just don't expect him to repeat it again.
I do like JWP as a fifth midfielder to stream in Taga. In OFPL, I mean, he's at 5 million. If you need a midfielder in that zone, I guess he does offer upside because he's been in form and he's going to get minutes pretty much every match. And he's been playing kind of in an advanced role on the right side, so there is attacking upside.
Yeah, that's fair. There's not much upside in this match at all. Like, I'd feel more confident going with the West Brom defense and Daniel Sturridge than I would in going with anyone on Southampton. West Ham's going to hope that Kieran Gibbs is healthy for this one, because then you just have more service in the box for Sturridge.
Yeah, I mean, there's no one at all that spikes your interest from Southampton. I mean, looking at all their players right now with their ownership.
I thought about streaming a Southampton defender today, and I was very happy I didn't.
Would you have any interest in scooping Guido Carrillo, who I, in our last episode, mistakenly called Andre Carrillo?
Not really, because Southampton breaks forwards. The only forward on their team that I trust even slightly is Charlie Austin.
Yeah, my man's still hurt, though, so, and I'm not sure when he's going to be back, which is definitely hurting them right now.
Yeah, we're just waiting.
Next match, talk about Arsenal taking on Everton.
The return home of Theo Walcott.
The Theo Walcott derby, as it shall be referred to from now on.
Hey, he may score in his old team because that defense is really bad.
Yeah, Theo helped Chuck out a lot by scoring twice in Everton's win. He's now on everyone's radar across all formats of fantasy.
As he should be.
He's priced at 7.2 in OFPL. Is that an appealing price for you to buy in on a little Theo?
I mean, I don't know if I'd have him on my team personally, but that is a pretty appealing price.
And then, obviously, he's someone you would have had to act quickly to get in Taga, as his ownership's up to 72%. Would you be interested in trading for him if someone offered him?
After a brace, no. I really don't like trading for players after huge days because they're going to get overvalued. If anything, you may want to try and sell high and see if you can get like a real forward too. Because like, while I do like Theo Walcott, I still think that he's probably more of a fleeting forward two or a forward three.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at his numbers, he had an assist against West Brom over his last two matches. He's created two scoring chances, obviously two goals, five shots on target. So he has put up the metrics you want to see out of a forward over those two matches. But like you said, this is something you're going to want to wait on before you go all in on him. But at the same time, I think you might be able to capitalize on someone trying to jump ship and sell him high, because I think his ceiling is a bit higher than what I guess you might be able to give up to get him.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, like, I'm kind of all aboard the Theo Walcott hype train because I only own three forwards in our Taga League, and that is Theo Walcott, Lacazette, and Daniel Sturridge.
Yeah, my forwards right now, obviously Sterling, my dude Sterling's killing it, and then you got Kennedy, Rashford, Welbeck, who's pretty much useless now that Aubameyang's there.
Yep, you basically have a lot of bench fodder.
Yeah, which kind of sucks. Moving on to the next match, Crystal Palace taking on Newcastle. Mamadou Sakho.
Yeah, I was going to say, Diafara Sakho is out of the league.
Yeah, Mamadou Sakho is healthy, but Bakary Sakho is not. I guess the biggest thing to note from fantasy is Christian Benteke snapped the 6-match goal drought, and he has 3 assists in his last 4 matches.
Yep, slowly Benteke's been kind of useful lately.
Dare I say it, is he someone to consider in OFPL at 7.6 million?
No. I like, the day that I put Christian Benteke in my OFPL team is the day I've given up on FPL forever.
So, I mean, they got Newcastle and Everton, then they have a horrific run of matches with Spurs, United, Chelsea, and Liverpool in the span of 5 game weeks. They do end the season with an appealing run of matches, though.
I mean, you, In Taga, Benteke will get his points just because of aerials. Like, even if he doesn't score, he's going to get something for you. So, like, I'm not necessarily trying to sell him. I would be trying to sell, well, they really don't have any value, but Palace defenders.
Yeah, I mean, if Palace didn't have such a gauntlet of fixtures coming up, I would consider trying to make a move for Benteke with the appealing run of matches at the end of the season. But, I mean, there's a chance he could put up less than, you know, 8 points in those across those four matches.
Yeah, I would say at this point, you kind of want to wait until, like, the gauntlet's about to end and try a move for Benteke. Really playing the long game here.
Yeah, and then in terms of looking at Newcastle, we've talked about Kennedy a bit. I like Kennedy just because that team is void of creativity, and that's the one thing he does have with pace. I mean, you got Soleimani coming in. I'm not sure if he will be starting at the weekend. He could, but having recording on Wednesday night, we haven't got the team news yet.
Yeah, because he is in recovery from an injury, and that's what made the loan move take so long. A very interesting thing is, what the hell is going on with Matt Ritchie? Like, has he completely lost his place?
Yeah, I don't know. He had been quite the fantasy gem this season up until late, and then, you know, I'm not really sure what's going on at Newcastle. I don't think anyone's sure. I mean, they're supposed to have the takeover, and then they didn't have it. You know, I guess it's very confusing because it's not like Matt Ritchie isn't a good footballer. It's not like he just forgot how to play.
I mean, he's one of the few actual Premier League footballers on their team.
Yeah, so he came in off the bench today in the...
He came in for Kennedy, I'm pretty sure.
Came in for Kennedy. So Kennedy started on the left, and Atsu started on the right. I would think that the plan would be to use Ritchie and Kennedy out wide and have Atsu on the bench. But
that's what I would have thought until today happened.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see with Soleimani coming in, because Ritchie obviously offers better service than Atsu does. So you would think you would want to have more guys who are able to find the big Algerian with service on the flanks, rather than having Atsu and Kennedy, who are both purely pace run at defenders, and that's how they kind of generate chances.
Yeah, that would be the hope.
But definitely, I guess, keep your eye on Twitter to see, and then check the lineups to see if Soleimani's in there. Because I think there will be goals in this one. I don't see either side keeping a clean sheet.
Yeah, there will be goals.
Another match that should have goals in it, Liverpool versus Tottenham in the premium clash of the weekend.
This is the battle of the top four, because whoever wins this match will end the weekend in the top four.
Yeah, I guess you're probably pretty confident after beating Manchester United.
I mean, I can't really ever be confident going into Anfield.
Yeah, I mean, the Reds have been the Reds lately, and they have been good at Anfield.
Although, yeah, the big thing with Liverpool is they can't play against bad teams, but you best believe they'll show up against the good teams in the league.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch this one. I'm definitely thinking there's going to be goals aplenty in this.
I think this is going to be like Liverpool's last couple matchups with the top teams in the league, where it's 3-4, 3-3 score line. I'm utterly terrified to watch this game just because absolutely anything could happen. And it's also going to be going on in the lead-in to me going to Philadelphia to celebrate for the Super Bowl.
Are you rooting for the Eagles?
I mean, I've at least lived in Philly, so I have an excuse. I'm more going for the mayhem than going as an actual Eagles fan.
Okay.
But yeah, we're on different sides of this thing. And why the hell would I ever root for the Patriots?
I mean, I'm not saying you have to root for the Patriots. I just didn't realize the... Okay, all right. That just... See, that makes me even madder now, because we lost to Tottenham today.
I went to college in Philadelphia.
Okay, that does. All right, that makes sense. getting back on track, with obviously Salah and Harry Kane both in consideration for captains on a week-to-week basis, are either of them on your radar for this week?
I mean, I'm captain in Harry Kane because, again, there will be goals. And while Spurs scored two goals against United without Harry Kane having a goal, that doesn't happen very often. And they're going to score multiple goals. And there's a good bet that he's going to have at least two of them.
If you look at Liverpool's lineup from today, nothing was too surprising, I guess, except Milner being in with Oxlade-Chamberlain on the bench. Do you think Chamberlain gets a start?
Yeah, I'm assuming that was just standard rotation, because like this, the midweek game weeks, you always see a few quirks with lineups, and I do think that Ox is their preferred midfielder.
The other thing to note is Andrew Robertson started at left back, and Moreno was not in the match day squad.
Yeah, which this is again where it's tough because you haven't seen the news on why Moreno wasn't in the matchday squad, because normally you would have assumed that Moreno would start this weekend, but I can't make that call until I've seen that news tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, Roberts has been useful, and Moreno obviously offers a bit more going forward in terms of those metrics, but I definitely, if you're a Robertson owner or you had picked up Moreno expecting him to get starts, I mean, I wouldn't be too hot on them this week just because there should be goals, but definitely pay attention to the match news as it comes out over the next day or two. I'm thinking about, I mean, I have Salah and I have Kane. One of them's probably going to get my captain if I have a last-minute change of heart off Sterling.
Yeah, I'm definitely giving it to Kane, and that's just going to happen.
Okay, let's get a scoreline prediction.
Spurs are in form, so I'm going to say 3-2 Spurs with no confidence whatsoever.
Okay, I'm going to go with 3-2 Liverpool. Spices up a bit.
I see how it is.
And I'm going to go ahead and lock that in as one of my specific predictions for this week. moving on to the last match, Watford versus Chelsea. The Hornets are catching Chelsea after a 3-0 loss to Bournemouth. Chelsea could potentially get Willian back from injury, but Christensen and Morata are both in doubt. Granted, as we just said, don't have the most recent injury news, but just going off of what we already knew and Christensen having
That Christensen left the match playing a pass and not actually doing something, I don't think that he's going to actually play this weekend.
Yeah, if it was a non-contact injury, it probably means muscular, so that could be a concern moving forward. From a fantasy perspective, if he's out for a while, I mean, that means Rudiger will see some more starts. So that's someone to consider in Tauga. Right now, Rudiger actually has higher ownership than Christensen, so you can go ahead and disregard that.
I mean, Rudiger is the better defender for Tauga purposes.
Yeah, and I think Christensen's good. I'm surprised that he's kind of had a firm command of minutes over Rudiger.
Yeah, I don't get it, because if I were managing the squad, I'd start Rudiger.
Yeah, I mean, also factoring in that Christensen hasn't lasted more than 57 minutes in his last three games.
Yeah, but that's kind of been bad luck, because the first game he came on late. The second game he left with concussion, and then the third game he now had what looks like a hamstring issue.
Are you losing any faith in Azpilicueta or Marcus Alonso after? I know what
you
you're
mean. Or, you mean or yeah. Or Chelsea as a whole?
Or Chelsea?
I have no faith in Chelsea. The issue is, like, until I wildcard, I can't really move much.
I mean, the one thing I was considering potentially was, just because I need to make some upgrades at defense, was transferring Alonso out, going for a cheaper midfielder, and then using my wild card next week.
I'm at a tough place because it's either get Azpilicueta out of my team or get Mahrez out of my team. And Mahrez is playing a more premium position right now, so I think I got to do that one first.
Yeah, and I mean, it is worrisome, just the whole situation with Mahrez and Leicester. Hopefully they can figure something out, because I don't want to lose him for my fantasy team. I guess getting back to Chelsea, Olivier Giroud, I would think, would be in contention for his first start, his debut with Chelsea, if Morata's out. If you have him, I obviously would start him if he's owned. But, I mean, it's just too – he's too much to consider having in OFPL. Or would you consider him if Morata's ruled out? Let's say he's ruled out tomorrow and you have time to get him in. Would you consider bringing Giroud in to OFPL?
Nope,
not at all? Even against the Hornets?
Well, there's the fact that with their signing of Ndong, I do think that they're actually going to be a better defensive side, which also means that Chelsea won't score as many goals as they would just by them being incompetent at the back.
I guess, for that matter, out of that Watford defense, is there anyone in particular that you would think would have more value, specifically either the center backs or the fullbacks?
I mean, I'm a bigger fan of center backs, because while their fullbacks occasionally do get forward and, like, have ridiculous days, that happens, like, every once in a blue moon, whereas our center backs are pretty consistent.
Yeah, I wouldn't be jumping to get them this week.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not, like, running out to grab Watford defenders this week anyway. This is just more of a long term that their defense should be much better.
Yeah, if you look at their upcoming matches, they travel to West Ham in game week 27, and they play Everton and West Brom at home. So those are definitely usable matches for the Hornets' defense. Before we bring this week's episode to a close, Chuck and I are going to give you guys some specific predictions to remember to say that we're geniuses for, or to make fun of us on Twitter for game week 26. I already used my first one to say Liverpool 3, Tottenham 2.
I say that both IU brothers will score for Swansea.
Ooh, I like that. I would like to see them both in the starting 11. Do you think they'll be able to coexist?
No, not at all. one's going to be coming in as a sub, which, like, that has to really, be bad when you're, like, sitting down for family dinners and stuff, and it's like, I started over you.
Yeah, I wonder. Would love to get a clip of the holidays around the IU household. My second prediction, I'm gonna go with Daniel Sturridge goal against Southampton.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, Southampton's bad. Sturridge, like, for all the shit that we give him, Sturridge does know how to score.
Yeah, my problem with him has always just been it's fitness, not the ability. And I know that staying fit is technically an ability, and that's what he gets, you know, all his shit for. But I do think he's one of the better finishers when he's, you know, fully fit and clicking. And there's no one else there for West Brom to score goals. So, I mean, if it's just natural to assume he's going to score if they score this weekend.
Yep. And I'm going to say João Mário is going to get his first assist in a West Ham shirt.
Ooh, I like that. I tipped him in my column last week, and he only returned 5.5 points. But I do have more confidence in him this week against Brighton. So with that said, that's going to do it for this episode of FPL 360. Remember, I'm Sean Sullivan, and you can find me on Twitter at Sean_Sullivan1.
And I'm Chuck Booth, and you can find me on Twitter at Chuck Booth Sport.
All right, till next time, best of luck, and may your arrows be green.